And he joins us this morning. Do you know how are you, my friend?
Good. You had a mullet the last time the cup was handed out here, didn't you? Or
yeah. And in the last 4 months, that mullet is back.
I was going to say, what's old is new again. I know. It's funny how that happens. Good morning to you guys. Wow, nice way to start the restart for Dean Evason. That's great.
Yeah, give them a little more authority when they hit the ice. Well, I'm not going to say you haven't been working. I've been seeing you doing a lot of your Instagram stuff and Instagram Live and talking to players and keeping busy and doing shows like ours. But just you got to be excited that, okay, finally you get to go to the ice and see what these guys are like. Do you expect on a young hockey team like the Oilers have for them to have, you might have caught Mike and I talking. I got Pettersson's probably worked like a dog. I would imagine, you know, you feel the same because of the enthusiasm that they have on that hockey team, that you're going to have a Connor McDavid that is going to be flying out of the gate.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I did hear you guys talking about it, and I would say that's the same for Edmonton. I mean, their core is young. Their leaders, who are National Hockey League leaders, are young and had a taste in 2017 of what the playoffs are like. And so I think they're raring to go. I'm not sure that a coach would want to hold guys back, but I think a training camp, listen, these guys haven't done this for almost as long as a team that doesn't make the playoffs and then starts up in September. I think you want to make sure you're careful there to start camp, that you're not, you don't want to hold them back in games, but maybe to get going in camp, like let's, I don't know if you can ease into it because it's only a couple of weeks camp, but let's just be careful of doing something that is going to take you out of the mix for a few weeks or hold you back 7 to 10 days and really even potentially set you back more. But Connor, Leon, Nugent Hopkins, a local kid. I mean, they are what the Oilers are. And when those three guys are going up front, there's lots of success to be had. So for sure. And I think, I don't want to say thank you to Vancouver, but unfortunately things kind of fell apart hub-wise. Medically, there were maybe some areas that they couldn't agree on with the National Hockey League. And, so Edmonton ends up as a hub as well. Vancouver would have been great at it. I think Edmonton will be great at it. And so there's that added excitement of having these teams and these great players descend on Edmonton. We might not really see them outside of a little area, from downtown, and you won't see them in person to watch them, but it's still kind of neat to know they're coming to town.
I think the trainers and the athletic therapists made maybe the MVPs for the first week of training camp as they watch what's going on. Gene, has Edmonton been officially announced as a hub city? I know Gary Bettman threw up the stop sign on Friday or Saturday just saying, hold on before you announce anything. Is that been officially announced now?
Well, I think once you talk about something for a certain amount of time, I think it just is true. That's what it feels like with the hubs. I mean, we were all set. Friday, the CBA was ratified and there was, the announcement, as far as I know, the Toronto and Edmonton. And then on, right to follow it up on Saturday, there was going to be a big press conference with Bob Nicholson from the Oilers, Jason Kenney, the premier of Alberta, Don Iveson, the mayor of Edmonton. And then it got canceled. And they said there were a few things to work out. So I would assume today that those little things that they needed to work out will be worked out, and that Edmonton will be a hub, and that it's a conference final and a cup final. Barring some kind of real change that we're not expecting, it looks like Edmonton, Toronto, and that the cup will be carried around Rogers Place by somebody either late September or very early October.
Here's the thing. I was out on the golf course talking to some guys on Friday, and I said, Gary Bettman never did say, we don't have and this is what I'm gonna go out there, that when they're playing that Stanley Cup final in September, and who knows if they get there, who knows what our world is like then,
right?
But if we continue to move forward, would you be shocked if all of a sudden like 1,000 tickets were made available for fans to watch that?
I think, Perry, it's a great idea, and I'm sure that the NHL has got that in the back of their minds. We're not gathering in that kind of number now. For example, in Alberta, you're allowed a, you can have a couple hundred people outside. Started with 50, then it went up to 100, then it's up to 200 again with social distancing. It's just about being careful. And I think that the big reason that Edmonton has the hub city label, which again, barring some kind of a change, is COVID numbers, lack thereof. And for sure, the facility and the pitch by the team and the province and the city was great as well. But if that pitch was still there and the numbers were, I'm not going to say like Florida, but some were really high, it wouldn't have made a difference. So I think that's got to be something that they're thinking about, because, you know, we're fast forwarding 2 months from now and the cup final's on. Who knows where we're at? What about if cases are down to 6 a day or 7 or 8 or something that is incredibly manageable, that mm-hmm. can we come up with some kind of a system that we can get these people in safely, get them out safely, and not cause any potential, you know, offshoot to players, staff, so on and so forth, that we have some form of a outbreak where you go, oh my gosh, they went to game 3 of the cup final or game 6 of the conference final and now 64 people have got COVID-19. So I think it's there, way on the back burner. You guys mentioned it. There's a lot that has to happen good to get us there. But I would be surprised if that's not something that they would consider when the time arrives.
Speaking of COVID-19, and aren't we always, but the CBA ratified on Friday allowed players, if they so chose to do so, is to opt out of this NHL postseason without having to explain any reason why. A number of players have. One of those players, Mike Green, who, of course, the Oilers acquired from Detroit for Kyle Brozsiak in a fourth-round draft pick. How much of a blow, Gene, is that for the Oilers going into this postseason against Chicago?
Well, I think, you know, yes and no, you know, because he only played, I think it was 3 games. They were in Vegas on the 26th of February when he injured his knee. So there wasn't even a chance to, I mean, he never even got a chance to kind of come home. Like, they were on the road, they made the swing through California into Vegas, and then suddenly he was gone. So but I think a veteran player with an offensive upside, I think he would have been a great right-handed shot for the second power play unit, kind of another quarterback if they needed him. So for sure a loss. The one thing about Edmonton is that, you know, if you went around the National Hockey League, it might be tough for fans to name more than one or two defensemen. Maybe the diehard would or could, but I think it's part of their strength is that they have lots of depth and that they've probably got 7 or 8 defensemen that can play, thanks to some young kids like Caleb Jones and Ethan Bear that have come along. But certainly Mike would have been like, I mean, barring him not being physically able to play, I'm guessing he would have been in the, you know, the lineup to start against Chicago in the play-in. So it is a loss, but hopefully, I think the Oilers are hoping it's not as big a loss as it could have been, because they have, you know, other players that can play.
Gene Principe joining us from Edmonton as training camps are underway for the NHL. Teams out east are already on the ice. Gene, ask you this. I mean, if it was normal circumstances, and I'm sure you'd probably be at the rink and be part of these Zoom conferences to get interviews from the players, the big buildup and the big storyline with the series that you will see between Chicago and Edmonton would be about all that Stanley Cup experience. Do you think that experience weighs as heavy in this, you know, unusual setup, 5-game format?
Yeah, you know, Perry, I think you hit the nail on the head. That's the one thing that Oiler fans, I guess, are hockey fans are curious about. Maybe Oiler fans are worried about is, you know, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith and Corey Crawford. And I don't know if you believe some of the reports, maybe Brent Seabrook, but maybe not Brent Seabrook. You know, that's a lot of winning and lots of experience. And not to mention, certainly in Kane's case and Toews, I mean, these guys are still, you know, at the top of their game. Duncan Keith may not be playing 35 minutes a night, but still can log 25 plus minutes. And if Corey Crawford gets hot, I mean, he's won Stanley Cups. So, yeah, that's one of those X factors that you're not certain of. I think that if this were the third round of the playoffs and they had, you know, grinded their way through a couple of rounds, both these teams, that you might think, okay, the youth and exuberance of Edmonton versus the experience, that maybe the experience handling everything at that point would be more advantageous. But because of the time off, because it's a just, holy smokes, a best of five, that the experience may not be as big a factor. You know, we won't know till they actually start playing. But I think that's definitely an Oiler concern, is that these guys have been there, done that. And I mean, you know, they were a version of a dynasty there in the first half of the last decade. They got going and were there, you know, basically year after year, winning three Stanley Cups. So nobody's writing that off for sure as being a non-factor. We're just not sure how much of a factor it will turn out to be.
Let me ask you this, Gene. I mean, I assume you're going into the building to watch some of the training camp, and if not that, you'll be about around the building doing what you do. From a bubble protocol, what do you have to go through in order to get in that building? Are you subject? I assume you're subject to all sorts of testing before you get in there, temperature, the swab up the nose, etc.
Yeah, well, we're working on that right now, in the sense that we will have access to practice. The Oilers will, for the most part, practice in their practice rink, which is, you know, just you go left straight to go to the main rink, you go a hard right and another right to get to the practice rink. We'll definitely have temperature checks and all that to get going for training camp. If we, you know, we're not sure. There's three alternatives. You're locked in. I was just talking to one of the crew who says he's going in July 23rd, and at the latest, we'll come out October 4th. That is a long time. Wow. To be in there. That is a long time to be at home, but not be at home. For practice, it's a little less stringent, but again, you go in one entrance, temperature checks, you got to wear a mask, social distancing, limited access regarding the cameras, what they can shoot. Again, like you mentioned, we're on Zoom calls. There's no, it's not like, you know, it seems archaic, the old days, and you guys are both familiar with it. The PR guy comes out, the room's open, and everyone piles in. Oh, that seems like 100 years ago that we used to do that. Like, it just, we're not getting anywhere near the players during training camp. So you'll come in, you'll kind of watch, shoot some video, do the Zoom calls likely on our laptops from a little workstation, and then we'll hop outside and, you know, do our stand-ups and our chats, you know, that Murph will be doing with Ian, you know, Ian McIntyre there in Vancouver, like I'll be doing here with Mark Spector. And then we see whether you're in the bubble, like some of the crew, whether you're partially in and out, saying, hey, Gene and these media, you go in this exit or entrance, you sit social distance in this area, game's over, your workday's over, bang, you're out, that same entrance now becomes an exit, or you don't get in at all, and you watch like a fan would on TV on your laptop, and then you spring into action and get in front of a camera and try and act like an expert that you were, you know, in the building when you weren't, and you're just standing outside Rogers Place.
Gene Principe joining us for a couple more minutes here. Gene, when the hub is officially announced and the players are there, have they taken over restaurants then and all that? Like, does the public actually think, are you going to have fans outside hotels, do you think?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think what they're doing, Perry and Mike, is it's going to be kind of like an Olympic, like a secured zone. So it's, you know, the Oilers and the top six teams are at the JW Marriott, which is, you know, figuratively and literally connected to the rink. And then the other six are at Sutton Place, which is, oh, I would say about a block and a half away, not very far. But it's going to be more like a zone so that players can get outside. But, you know, if a restaurant is delivering, the delivery will come to the checkpoint, for lack of a better term, and it will get looked at. The exterior will get sanitized if necessary, but everyone will be wearing gloves and masks. And then it would be brought inside. There are restaurants that are kind of within the secured zone, but you know, it's limited, especially if you can't open it up to be a huge area. Toronto has a bit of a different setup. But in Edmonton, you know, you can't make it a mile long strip. Now, having said that, you guys have been there before. They're talking about on off days, or if teams got a couple, you know, if you win a series, you might be off from playing for 3, 4, 5 days. Normally in the playoffs, you would go for a round of golf. You'd get somewhere and have a little team building, team bonding, team time. There is the Mayfair Golf and Country Club, which is probably a 15-minute bus ride. So that's part of the pitch, is that, you know, there's the possibility. We'll have to see how that works. We'll have to see if it works. But it's something that, you know, they don't want these players to they're locked into playing, but maybe not fully locked down to have some opportunity to get out. But it's got to be safe. I mean, it's got to be safe. The NHL started with that from the time they said the NHL was coming back. It's about the COVID cases. It's about health. It's about safety. It's about mental health. And so they got to make sure that that's always the number one mandate, you know, no matter what's going on.
Hey, one quick question before we go. Gene, I know you're born and bred Edmonton. Salkowski's born and bred in Edmonton. Yeah. I worked there for 15 years. Actually worked for the club in question, that being the Edmonton Eskimos.
Yeah.
Is there a momentum behind the changing of the name there? We heard the Redskins news this morning. Do you think the Eskimos may be one of the next to fall?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I listen, nowadays it's so easy. It's easier and maybe makes more sense to just capitulate and say, look, we're just going to do this. And that doesn't make it wrong. It just, there's such a groundswell of everyone and everything talking about so much in our society, including team nicknames. I don't know how the Eskimos can't change it. I'm not saying that they should. They've done all kinds of studies and they've talked to people, but you know, in the end, I think that they'll change it. If they don't, I'll be very interested to find out what their stumbling block was in not changing it. I mean, the easy thing to do is to change it the way the world is going right now. The hard thing to do is not, but then the harder thing to do is explain why you haven't done it. So I'm curious to see what occurs, you know, over the next little while, especially if we do have a very small CFL season. They got to do something or announce something on how they're going to handle their name.
Buddy, I know it's a start of a busy time. You got a Stanley Cup final in your city at some point, yeah, if we can get through this whole thing. So appreciate the fact that you let us bore you for a little bit. Stay safe out there. You'll stay busy, and maybe we'll track you down again.
Anytime, boys. Take care. Pleasure.